Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Coop's Corner Podcast. It's been a very long time, but we are back here, and I've got a great guest on this special episode of Coop's Corner Podcast. For the very first time, we are broadcasting live on the Periscope app. So if you have any questions for my guest tonight, you can write your questions in the comment, and my guest can probably see your comments if he wants to answer them. But please, everybody, welcome my special guest on Coop's Corner Podcast, professional wrestler Jackson Argos.
Hey, that's me. I'm that guy that you're talking about.
Jackson, thank you so much for being my special guest on the podcast today. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. This is actually my first vocal appearance because I lost my voice screaming over the weekend. So I started to come back. I had to turn down a few other people because I told them, I was like, you won't be able to hear me, and that's... talking is the only thing I'm really, really, really good at.
So. All right. Well, you can totally blame me if your voice goes by the end of the podcast, because we got a lot of stuff to get down to, and we don't have much time because I know you got places to go. And I thank all your listeners for joining in this podcast episode. So why don't you give us a quick introduction about Jackson Argos, who you are, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the greatest gift to professional wrestling since the turnbuckle. A lot about me. Let's see. Well, I trained in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I have amazing red hair on one side of my head because I can't afford both. I actually get asked a lot what my in-ring style is, and I can't answer that because I adapt. I'm a chameleon. Whoever I'm fighting, it depends on who exactly that is and how I will, you know, set up my game plan.
Okay.
So, let's see, what else is there to know? I'm really, really good at kicking and punching people. That's a plus. Drop a mean elbow, and let's see. I'm a treat and a delight to be around, so I guess that's about a lot. You know, a lot mashed in together.
Oh, I could already understand the feeling from you. It's you could already tell you're a great person. Thank you so much for coming on as a special guest today.
Absolutely.
And so, basically, when did you get started into getting into professional wrestling? Because I know you said that you trained in Calgary, and yes. Is that where you basically got started when you wanted to go professional? And when did that start?
Yeah, I'm trying to think here. It would have been last May. So yeah, we're creeping up on a year here, which is hard to believe. I drove across the country about 42 hours to Calgary. I lived there for about 3 months, and I trained with the great Lance Storm. And when that was finished, I finished training July 22nd of this past summer. And my first match live in front of a crowd was July 23rd the next day at about 5 or 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been going at it as fast and hard as I can every day since then. But yeah, I just jumped into it, and Lance said to me the last day, shook my hand and said, good luck, get out there. And I said, oh, I have a match tomorrow. He went, well, all right, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, like, what was it like training with the Lance Storm that so many Canadians know from wrestling and ECW days? So it's like, what was it like being trained by him? And what was the process of how long your course was? And just tell us the whole course, basically.
Shebang, yeah. Well, let's see. It was, like I said, about a three-month course, and which doesn't sound like a lot of time. Some other places may have you go longer than that, but I don't think a lot of people understand. We would get up and start class about 8:39 in the morning, and we would go until about 3 or 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday. So it was a full-time job. And after ring time, I went to the gym. After I was at the gym, I went for a run. After run was, you know, dinner time, then it was time for bed. So it wasn't a matter of move to Canada, get a job, and then train with Lance when you feel like it. I mean, it was a full-time, all-day commitment.
Yeah, so did you not have time to go to a job and then also do training at the same time? Or did you do that after you did all the lifting at the gym?
No, what I did financially to keep and maintain myself there was I had been saving up for quite a while. I had reached out to Lance a while back with thoughts, you know, of going. Started to fall through, but I had a lot of money saved up. I'm pretty smart with my finances, so I had enough in my savings that when it finally I got the email from him saying, come on up, I had enough. I had a fundraiser before I left, and I had a lot of help, a lot of good support to make sure I got there. I'm really good at gambling, I guess. You know, putting all the money where it needs to be, and know, hoping that a good product comes out. And they say, you know, if you can't invest in yourself, then what are you going to invest in? And I did take a gamble and put as much money as I had on me. I didn't want to be one of those guys that goes and trains and learns and then at the end of the course goes, well, that was fun. Let's go home and start doing whatever again. I knew that I was getting trained by the best so I could then become the best I could be. And I knew that, I'm not putting down any other school. There's a lot of great schools out there, but I knew from the reputation that Lance had, if anyone could produce talent out of this, it would be Lance Storm. You know? So I had to go to the best. And like I said, I pushed all my money to the front and said, here, this is my bet. And I bet on myself. And so far, I think it's paying off pretty well.
Yeah, you answered a bit of my question I was going to follow up with. Is while you were taking those courses with Lance Storm, did you ever feel like you wanted to give up? Or was it too much to handle? Or you just kept going through the whole thing? And
you know, in my entire life, everything I've ever done, it's never been a situation of, I don't try something unless I know 100% that I'm going to finish it and I'm going to, you know, take the ball and run. Whether it was football, basketball, even just acting, if I did any theater work, anything like that, I never got into anything that would make me feel not only like I'm wasting my time, but wasting the time of others. And I would feel like a complete jerk to go up there, spend all that money, spend all that time, spend all those resources, and then at the end of it go, I might be okay at this. I might commit a little bit here and there. So, no, I never had that moment of, I can't do this. It was, I mentioned to you before when we talked, I'm a chameleon. And if I wasn't good at something, I had two options. I either got better at it, or I got better at something else to compensate for the fact that I wasn't as good at the other thing. So, yes, there were days that were frustrating, and there were things that, you know, I couldn't necessarily do, but there were things I could do better in another area to make up for that.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more after you finish your classes and that. What was the booking like for you? What's your booking like now? Are you still getting the same amount of booking that you got when you first graduated from his class?
It's picked up immensely. I think what happened is there have been a lot of situations where I showed up and who trained me has been both a blessing and a curse to start out, because once someone hears where I train, the expectation is here.
Right.
So I did have, you know, I had my first match the day after training. I was booked prior to even finishing the course. I got home. I came back to the East Coast area and I had a match the day after I got back. And then I had I got on with another promotion a week later. And that was a situation that was with Black Diamond Pro Wrestling. It was a sink or swim situation where they said, you know what, let's give him a shot, see if he's any good. And we were up at the Brook County Fair. I came out, I had a good time, and they loved me, I think, kind of. Love, hate, whatever. You know, so I lost. So obviously they thought, oh, he's a loser, so we'll bring him back and our guys will look good. So
that's
always a plus. But then I got on, you know, I made some good connections, and luckily, it's a true story, they're... I ran into a couple other guys in the Pittsburgh area that also trained with Lance Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys and I became very good friends. We had a very strong connection right off the bat. And I'm now with Jack Pollock and R.C. Dupree in the International Wrestling Cartel in Pittsburgh. And R.C. Dupree and I were kind of given an opportunity as two rookies. He was actually in the class right before me. So he graduated. Then I came in, I graduated, and we show up in Pittsburgh under the guidance and tutelage of Jack Pollock, who graduated a couple years ago, and it was, all right, let's see what these guys can do. We earned ourselves full-time contracts with that company, and now they're stuck with us, whether they like it or not.
Right.
So yeah, I do a lot of work up in the Pittsburgh or Brittsburgh area, as my friend Britt Baker likes to refer to it. So... And then, yeah, from there, it's just been a whirlwind of emails and never-ending messages of me saying, look at me, you want me.
So you talked about your team that with you right now. It's Team Storm, I believe.
Team Storm, that's us.
So that's basically how you guys got together, is you guys were already a bunch of graduates from IWC, and you're the Rookie of the Year, right?
I was the Rookie of the Year, believe it or not. I was voted by the fans, which shocked me because most people hate me. They won't admit that, but I know it. I hear what you say to me when I'm wrestling. But yeah, I was voted the Rookie of the Year after being with the promotion for about 5.5 months. So that to me was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
And it was a confidence boost to myself. I didn't win best hair. I thought they would make that category. They did not. So I was a little bummed, but I guess I'll take Rookie of the Year. Why not? But I think it's funny. I win Rookie of the Year, and I, it wasn't necessarily that I was a rookie in IWC. I was a rookie in professional wrestling, period. And I think there's a big difference between the two. You can work for a company for a year and be considered a rookie for them, but it was kind of a running joke that my rookie year is not even over.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I got named Rookie of the Year and thought, oh, okay, does that mean I'm not a rookie anymore? And everyone goes, oh, no, you're still very much a rookie. You're not wrong, So we took the ball and ran with that, too. I make sure everyone knows that and everyone hears that because I'm very, very proud of that accomplishment. Not something I didn't expect after 5 months of being with them, So.
Right, and you do whatever it takes to go out there. I've seen your videos and your promos that you do, and you're very good on the mic. Your mic skills are fantastic, and you tell everybody the way it is. Is that correct?
I tend to not shut up. That's the one thing I'm known for.
Yeah.
The downfall of that, I will say, in the ring, is I get kicked in the mouth or in the face or punched in the mouth every damn time I get in the ring,
right?
Because of how much I talk. I'm not going to stop. I mean, I'm going to keep running my mouth. But yes, I tend to get the same reaction every time I get in the ring, because the second I say, get me a microphone, typically that's when the promoter and everyone in the locker room just goes, oh no. Oh no, I'm not asking for this permission, but he's doing it anyway.
Now, so, did you pick that up from just, being yourself as a kid, or did you pick that up from Lance Storm?
I picked up my ability to talk. Growing up as a kid, I watched a lot of stand-up comedy. I watched a lot of, Jim Carrey movies, which gave me my over-the-topness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, I talk with my hands a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm like that on stage.
I picked up my acting and my talking skills from growing up on guys that that knew how to talk, watching guys. When I was a kid, my story I always tell how I got into wrestling was, my father used to watch and had stopped. He felt like the product had gone stale and wasn't worth tuning into. So when I would have been 6 or 7 years old, I had no idea what wrestling was. Mm. I was kept away from the violence, And my father got a phone call one day from his buddy, and his buddy was explaining to him, oh, I know you don't watch anymore, man, but Hulk Hogan's back, and he's doing this bad stuff. He's a bad guy. He's taken over with it with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. So then my dad felt the need to tune in. And when I walked into the living room, I thought it was boxing. And I didn't know what it was. And everyone was talking on the microphone. And I said, why is no one fighting? I'm confused. But my dad said, well, how about, believe it or not, shut your mouth and listen. I said, all right. I'll listen to my dad when he tells me to shut up. And the more I listened, I started to pick up on cues and what they were doing to get me to listen and what was sucking me in.
Mm-hmm.
And being the poor, neglected middle child of the family, I said, well, if these guys can get on TV and talk and that gets attention, I think the kid inside of me went, well, them just talking is getting attention. Imagine if I talked and that got me attention, because I'm the middle child. I need it. And as I got older, it just kind of became a staple of who I am, was I'm a storyteller. I love to captivate audiences and talk.
Right.
So that's why I've done so much trying to get on podcasts, because I say, I can tell stories, and the podcast is literally just, hey, go listen to this idiot talk.
Right. Oh, I'm the guy that's listening most of the time, so that's why I didn't do them.
Yeah.
I enjoy the storytelling. That you're more than welcome to come back anytime if you need more stories being told.
And when people were kids, they collected baseball cards, Pokemon cards. I collect stories. I still do. That's my thing.
So let's talk about stories and some of your favorite stories that you've had wrestling so far in the past year. What have been your favorite encounters that you've gone in? Some of your opponents, some of the matches you've gone through.
Some of my favorite opponents. Well, let's see. It was December 10th in IWC. My favorite, most memorable match I've had so far was myself and my tag team partner, RC Dupree, strongly wanted to work with the International Wrestling Cartel. And we laid out a challenge. It was accepted. And it was one of those times where you make a challenge and it seems like a good idea. And then it gets accepted and you're like, oh no, I gotta follow through with this. The challenge that we laid down was with Andrew Palace, who's the golden boy of IWC. He's a graduate of the Iron City Academy. He's a stud muffin. I'll give some respect to him. He's a great, great guy in the ring.
Right.
Very competitive. So we laid down a challenge to have a 2-on-1 handicap match with ladders, have a ladder match where if we win, we would receive full-time contracts with the company.
Right.
And let me tell you, it's about 15 minutes of Jackson Argos and RC Dupree getting the hell beat out of each other. And that was when we made our move, because the pitch was we challenged Andrew Palace versus Team Storm, and we kept to ourselves that we had a third member, and that was when Jack Pollock arrived, and I guess you could say bailed us out.
Oh, yeah.
So the three of us signed our contracts and are now members of the IWC community. And that match is available. You can download it at indiewrestling.us. It's one of my favorite matches to look back on. It was literally, they say in every sense of the word, you need to earn your spot. I'm coughing.
All the talking, you gotta get some.
My voice is gone. I told you
you might be losing them.
I know. Well, they tell you when you're a rookie, you don't. Nothing's handed to you. Everything needs earned. And we went out there and earned our spot by literally getting beat to death with ladders.
You had to do what you had to do to win, too, right?
Yeah, so. That's one of my favorites. Some other people I've worked with. Just this past weekend, I had a chance to work with in IWC again. Jonathan Gresham, who has wrestled everywhere. He's amazing. I had a chance to work with him. And Dominic Guarini and Celeste Taylor, and they were some really, we had a fatal four-way elimination match, and before you ask, no, I did not win, but I did well, and it was a lot of fun. I will put over Jonathan Gresham as much as I can. The guy is an absolute stud. He is the one in that match that got to kick my face off because I wouldn't shut the hell up.
Right.
So that was great. Right about here. And then another opponent of mine I like to always talk about, I had a really... really good match with Ty Cross. I guess you could say he's a secret weapon of the Ohio Valley. Ty Cross had a great match with him in Moundsville, West Virginia. And the guy's got one of the most deadly spine busters you'll ever see. So if you ever have a chance to check him out. And from there, I've had a lot of good opponents just around different places. I consider all day because I don't think I've actually had a match where I'm not a fan of the person I wrestled with afterward. So I'm not going to be the guy that says, watch every one of my matches, they're all great. But I think every single match I've ever had has something that you can take home, or at least something that makes you say, I enjoyed that, or I'm glad he got his face kicked off, because I guarantee you at some point in every one of my matches, somebody finds a way to punch me in the mouth or kick me in the face. So,
we'll talk about future matches now. I mean, what's going to be happening for Jackson Argos in 2017, and what matches should we see from him this year?
Well, my thing is, if you're holding any type of gold around your waist, I'm going to find you. 6 months in, Rookie of the Year, I think the next 6 months, my goal is going to be to somehow, some way, find a championship to put around my waist. So anybody with any gold around their waist, I will be gunning for that. But as far as opponents, some names of some people, let's see here. I hate to say the name because I have a lot of respect for him, and beating him up would be bad. But I hope down the line the name Chris LaRusso comes up. He's definitely a guy you should look up. He's worked with Ring of Honor before. He is an absolute stud. He's the heir apparent. And that is someone who, down the line, I would love 100% to get into the ring with. Again, I'd like to get in the ring with Andrew Palace again, because I hate his stupid hair and his stupid face, and I want to beat him up. So that's another one.
You're getting people that are chatting with you saying they're the future of the WWE right here. you got a friend named Melody in here that's giving you a shout out. So
Melody, thank you for that. I appreciate it. We'll see if that that would be a possibility at some point, but I need to learn how to walk before I learn or try to learn to fly. So maybe someday.
Is for also because you're also in a team right now with Team Storm. Do you prefer having single, or do you prefer having a tag team matches, or do you prefer like mixing up, maybe having a trios match, like sort of like on Lucha Underground or something?
I prefer winning. So whatever, there you go. Whatever type of match I win is great. But no, I like tag team matches. They bring a different flavor, and I think it's fun when you. When you have the same training and the same background as Jack and RC and as myself, which is rare, our timing is very good. So when we do our double team moves, when we do things that most other teams can't do, people wonder, how long did it take you to do that? And I say, not any time at all, because we are come from the same place. We get it. We know it. And so tag teaming is fun. I like working as an individual when I can, when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to be a selfish thinker, but at the end of the day, Jack and RC both know if there's one spot, I'm taking it.
So, yeah, one man for himself, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to gold, it's gonna be.
They know that about me. RC and I have that conversation every day. If something's there and my hand goes up first, he looks at me and says, "I hate you," you know, but I love you and I will come to the ring with you and I will help. So. We do that for each other, and it is about getting yourself to where you need to be, but at the same time, we're all kind of helping carry each other. So
much ring talk. What about a little out of ring talk? What does Jackson Argos like to do out of the ring? I know we got to shorten up our time here because I know you got to get going soon. So
if we need to go an extra couple minutes, as long as you don't mind me being rude and texting on the side here, I can.
Oh no, absolutely no. I just I've almost got all my questions out. So let's talk a little bit about who else Jackson Argos is outside the ring.
Outside the ring, Jackson Argos is a massive dork and nerd, but in such a good way. I like to attend as many Comic Cons as I can. You'll see me there, but you might not know it's me, because yes, I do dress up. I have a mean Two-Face outfit.
Awesome.
I'm a huge science fiction dork. I watch a lot of Godzilla movies. I watch a lot of old school Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm a big fan of. So, yeah, outside the ring, I'm just a big, huge nerd, and I spend a lot of time in the gym. But what's funny is I get picked on, because when I'm in the gym, the stuff I'm watching or listening to or reading is always the nerdiest, dorkiest things. I'm one of the few guys I know that actually will take a book with him to the gym. So if that helps understand what a big nerd I am.
Absolutely. You're even we even talked a little bit about this before the show started, but you're also doing a little bit of an audition off the side, I heard. A little audition for 2020.
For what is it? I'm sorry.
I heard that you might be doing an audition for the upcoming Godzilla movie, maybe? King Kong Godzilla?
I am, yes. I think that if we can get that going, I know that we've got the new King Kong movie coming out.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert for those that haven't already read this online, in the year of 2020, King Kong will be fighting Godzilla, is the pitch. And I, the child within me, would love nothing more than to be a part of that production. So starting today, get the word out. I don't care who needs to find out, but Jackson Argos wants to be on the big screen with the big guys in some way, shape, or form. I have all the credentials, the acting background, the improv acting background. I can talk. I can look scared. I can do whatever you need me to do. But yeah, the kid in me, it's a story I mentioned to you before that I would love to tell, because my mother will love to hear this.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't know, there was no internet. So I had no list of monster movies. I didn't know what there was. I had seen King Kong. I had seen Godzilla. Loved them both. When it was, I want to say it was my sixth birthday, maybe five or six. My family bought me on VHS Godzilla versus King Kong. And my face is just blown away that there was even a crossover. I had no idea it existed, and I just lose my mind screaming, people who know the story will love to hear it. I couldn't pronounce my K's,
Yeah.
So I begin screaming, "Mommy, look, Godzilla Ting Tong, Godzilla Ting Tong." And hopefully one day I can find that video to get it up online. But that kid, as they say, you know, what's that old expression? What you're doing now, what would the kid inside think of what you are today? And if that 5 or 6 year old kid could see me on the big screen with Godzilla and King Kong, you would, the world, I believe, Legendary Pictures would make that kid the happiest child that ever existed. So I will put that out there now as my Outside the Wrestling Realm pitch for the day.
There you go. Go follow Jackson Argos. Go support this guy. He wants a movie role. And yeah, what else are we going to look forward to for your future? Is there any other like promotions that you want to wrestle for in the future?
Yes. Well, I know there's a bunch I want to wrestle for, but I will say this while I can. This coming Saturday, so the... Oh, I got to get my dates right here. It's the 28th, I believe, is Saturday night. I will be wrestling with RC Dupree. Team Storm is coming to Paulsboro, New Jersey for the Monster Cup, Monster Factory Cup. We will be competing in a tag team tournament in hopes of bringing home the cup to represent Team Storm, who also represents Canada, some place I know you're very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will happen. And then I'm trying to think here after that. February 18th, I will be in Akron, Ohio, with Ohio Championship Wrestling again for Love Hurts is their show. And that is actually, as we'll go full circle with what I said earlier, I am in a fatal four-way to crown a number one contender for their world title.
Awesome. Congrats. Said,
you have gold around your waist, look out. My idea is in the store. But yeah, other promotions, I'd like to get in AIW in Ohio. I've been reaching out. Really want to get in with them. Obviously, my long-term goals are at some point, someday, some way to work with Ring of Honor. That is a goal of mine. But again, learn to walk before you try to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So one day. There's a lot of promotions out there I want to work with, and I will continue to bug, annoy, harass every promoter that there is that I'm worth the time, worth the commitment. So I've been told before that I'm a marketing machine, so put me on your show, and it's free publicity, free marketing. I do digital photography. I do digital editing. I do all of that, all my own stuff, my video editing, my photo editing. I will get your brand out there if you will help get my name on there.
Absolutely. So, make sure you book this guy as a guest on your show if you do a podcast. And even if you're using social media, you see the social media things in the corner here. If you guys are watching from Periscope or YouTube, he's got the Twitter and Instagram thing. Jackson Argos is his Twitter handle and Instagram. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Excellent.
I'm getting more into the Twitter sphere. You know, I tend to spend a lot of time on Instagram because I like posting pictures. They say a picture tells 1,000 words or whatever. I speak 1,000 words a minute, so go to my Instagram, and if you don't want to hear me talk because I have an annoying voice, then just look at my pictures and you can read the caption yourself.
Absolutely. So. I also have one last question because I know we got to wrap this up now for you. T-shirts. I've noticed that you've got the Rookie of the Year t-shirts going around. Why can't I find one, and where can I get them, and anybody else listening?
Well, the Rookie of the Year t-shirt was a Jackson Argos exclusive.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm the Rookie of the Year, not you. And my other t-shirts I have for sale at every show that I'm at, I've been holding out. I've been trying to reach out to ProWrestlingTees.com
mm-hmm.
to start carrying Jackson Argos merchandise. However, I don't have enough followers on my Instagram or Twitter yet to warrant my own shop.
Really?
So I'm working on that.
Jeez.
Hopefully they'll see this or someone will tell them, somebody will say, get this guy on your shop. I get it. I'm a rookie. Know my place. Shut my mouth and be quiet. I'm 6 months in. Your shirts will get there. Be quiet. But I'm just letting them know that I think there's a little bit of money in Jackson Argos if they'd like to make some.
Absolutely.
Just throw that out there.
I even have a store if you ever want to borrow mine for a bit if you want.
See, now they're going to be looking at you saying, no, you took this guy from us. So I just got heat on you, but probably heat on myself for, begging to be on their website. But no, I actually had a chance. This is a funny story. When I was driving back from Calgary, I stopped into the One Hour Tees shop in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And what they're doing there and the stuff that they're doing for wrestlers, not yet like myself, but a lot of friends that I have, it's amazing. They will print, they will ship, they will everything for you. All you have to do is advertise yourself and push your followers to their site.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is.
It's like one of the greatest things that any wrestler could have at their disposal, and I need that. So, you know, let's help get me there.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to get you some merchandise so I can get some of you, and I can put your merchandise on my wall behind me. I've got
That's
some merchandise.
Where it needs to go. I guess I'll throw this out there now if you need. I got an extra 15 minutes so I can hang out longer if you'd like. No big deal.
Oh, well, if you're more than welcome to, I've mostly answered all my questions, but
there's always a story, I guess I should say.
Well, right now, while watching wrestling, when you have time off, what's your favorite wrestling brand to watch on TV right now?
Here's the thing. I've been asked this before, and I catch a lot of flack for it.
You're the one that wanted to go an extra 15 minutes. So.
No, I'm okay with it. I'm someone, I'll say things and people will hate it, but I'll stand by it, so whatever. Piss off, I guess. But, no, I don't get to watch all that much anymore because of how much I'm traveling, and I listen a lot. When I travel, I will put my laptop on next to me, and I listen to the commentary, and I listen to the crowd, and then I think, what garnered a reaction, or what was noticed by a commentator, or what was noticed by the people that, little things that people might not even pick up on, because I think the little things go a long way. And I'm someone who, this is the Lance Storm training coming out, I was taught that obviously it's cliche, what's old is new. And there's a lot of stuff hidden, little gems that I've dug up and I have found that I mix into my, you know, arsenal of moves or my arsenal of entertainment that had been lost. The gorgeous Georges, even the George the Animal Steels, the older things that if you make them feel new, they're entertaining. So I spend more time watching old stuff and picking it apart as opposed to the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing people don't know about, may not know because it's not advertised, at Lance's Academy, he has a library. And I know a lot of people now want to look at the WWE Network and they want to YouTube everything. Lance has an extensive collection of DVDs, VHSs, that you can sign out and take home and watch. And I spent a lot of time doing that and studying. So there's a lot of wrestling that I watch that people will come up, black and white films, you can tell it's a VHS bootleg, whatever. That's the stuff that I watch because there are so many things that are forgotten.
Right.
And one good an example I like to use, I can guarantee that at some days I will drop the most basic of elbows and you'll love it because I don't necessarily have to do anything crazy and run the risk of destroying myself,
right?
Because I'm still working on my balance and my ability to jump and fly. Again, I'm learning to walk before I learn to fly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I watch a lot of really old stuff. I find it's more entertaining because there was more, I don't know, I just feel like the older stuff, the business was so much more, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe it really. I guess you should probably look it up too. I will plug other things for other people. Go watch some really old, like, Smoky Mountain wrestling, stuff like that, you know? Or if it's wrestling and it's black and white, watch it. That's the best way I can put it, so.
Old school wrestling. I love it. I'm loving it.
Absolutely.
So, like, so some different things, like, I know with the big TNA thing, the whole debacle with them. I'm not sure if you watch much TNA, but they also got Lucha Underground on TV. Are you a fan of either one of those TV programs, or Ring of Honor guy?
Sure, I am a Ring of Honor guy. I'm a fan looking at TNA. I'm a big fan of DJZ in and outside the ring. DJZ is a guy who also comes and goes with the International Wrestling Cartel. And I don't say comes and goes in a negative way. The guy, he got a good start there, and he had a good run there, and he comes back every chance he gets. And, so if I have a chance and I know he's got a match on TNA, I'll tune into that.
He had to play the heel character for a bit, though.
100%, I don't focus on any negative at all in my life. I cut that out.
Yeah.
So when I hear a lot of people, like you said, that use the word debacle with TNA, I'm one of the few people that will watch TNA, and I take every positive away from it.
Mm.
You know, this stuff that's going on right now with the damn Hardy Boys and what they're doing.
Yeah.
That they took something and they made it amazing.
Yes, that's probably one of the most amazing things that have happened in wrestling throughout 2016, I must say.
Well, you know, I put it over, but at the same time, I was recently informed the Hardys are coming to the International Wrestling Cartel on September 8th, and I just hope they stay out of my way. So, like I said, I focus on what's positive and what people are enjoying. So, like you said, with Lucha Underground, everyone has a different opinion on the way that it's presented. I'm a big fan. If you're a fan of Taya, who wrestles down there, she's also a Storm Academy graduate.
That's right.
I'm a big fan. I met her, actually, in Calgary during my training.
So, really? Oh, cool.
Yes, go watch her. She's awesome. She's a good time. So, yeah, I always try to dabble into things. There are certain times I get made fun of because I don't follow as closely as I should with storylines and stuff. But that's because I've got enough stories up here that I will watch for research. I watch wrestling to say, oh, I could do that. Or, oh, I could maybe do that better. Or, oh, I shouldn't do that because I would screw it up. So I watch for research. I watch so if I come across somebody, I have an idea of what is in their arsenal. So
I do have one last question I want to ask you about with your booking and that. Now, do you only book like one opponent for a long time, and then you won't wrestle him for like months, or is it like will he have multiple matches with that opponent for multiple like bookings down the road?
It truly depends on the promotion and where. You know, where the action is at.
Because with social media these days, you can actually make quite a storyline building up to that match, if
sure,
you wanted
and that's,
to.
I tend to do that. I will give fair warning to every single person on the planet. If I find out that I have a match with you, I'm going to pester, bother, and destroy you on every form of social media that I can.
There you go. You got this one now, too, if you need it.
I will do that till the day I die, because I don't know if I'm going to wrestle you once or I'm going to wrestle you 10 times. I might wrestle you once, kick your teeth in, and they say, man, we probably shouldn't book that one again. Poor guy got his teeth kicked in. They might book me for 3 times, and after the 3rd time, they might say, wow, this is really good. Let's do it again. Either way, I treat every opponent like I'm going to beat you once and move to the next guy. So it all depends, really. It's one of those situations where if I'm contacted and told, we have this is who you're going to wrestle, I don't ask questions. I just show up. I do my job. I promote the hell out of it. Because I have faith in myself that if you are going to put me on your show, I'm going to make every single person know that they don't want to miss it. And then when you come to the show, you're going to say, damn, I'm glad I didn't miss this. And I think that is something that tends to come stronger with rookies because of the fresh fire and the energy. And it's, oh, he's a young kid trying to get out there. And then as you get older, you start to, all right, I'll go out and kick this young kid's face in and be done. So with me, I love poking and prodding people because once you get comfy, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
If you're comfy with where you're at and you're comfy with what you're doing, you are absolutely done because I don't stop. I am fueled with blood and caffeine is what runs through me. And the second you slow down, the second you get comfy, I'm going to show up. Run my mouth, stomp my feet, and throw my fists, and I'm going to take every spot that is even the slightest bit open. If you close, here's a good analogy here. If you swing a door shut, and it doesn't click shut, and it's kept just enough open for the wind to blow it open, I'm the wind that blows that damn door open. So that's my little creative pitch of who I am and what I'm capable of.
And it's been a pleasure having you on because now my audience knows quite a lot a bit about you. And hopefully you guys all tune in to Jackson Argos, follow him on social media. And is there anything else that lastly you want to plug in before we end this episode?
Oh, man. I would say if you're someone watching this and you're interested in getting into professional wrestling, contact Lance Storm, go to the Storm Wrestling Academy. I plug that every chance I get. And I also, I never get a chance to say this enough. When people look at what I and hear what I say when it, in regards to that academy, they think, why is he showing off that name so much? Well, it's not to garner attention to myself in that sense. I have so much respect. If you see someone that graduates from college and they're walking around with their hoodie on or their hat with their university or, oh, go football team, this and that, it's fine. But the second I talk about the Storm Wrestling Academy, it's, oh, you're bragging about who trained you. I am so damn proud of where I come from. I will send anybody I can up that way. So that's my small pitch for that. The other thing, I travel wherever. If you need me to be somewhere, I hop in my car and I go. If I can drive 42 plus, I think it was close to 45 hours to Calgary, any promoter hearing this, if you need to bring somebody in that can be loud and can get the crowd excited, this guy is your guy. And with that being said, I've kept fairly east coast of the United States of America. I've kept in that area. So anybody interested bringing me out anywhere else, get a hold of me. Like you said, Instagram, Face, everything is very simple to get a hold of me. My name is Jaxon, and Argos is Argos, and I'm JacksonArgos at Gmail for any email inquiries. I'm at JacksonArgos on Twitter, on Instagram, at JacksonArgos on Facebook. If you know how to spell my name, you know how to find me.
So, he's a wonderful guy, ladies and gentlemen. He contacted me because he wanted to reach out. He's a wonderful guy, so make sure you contact him as well. Make sure you send him a message on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you follow him there. And make sure you're following his career and make sure see where his career is going from here. I definitely want you back on my show whenever you want to come back on.
I'll be back as soon as I can. And like I said, let's get my t-shirts out there, pro wrestling tees, so I can get you one hanging up behind you back there.
Absolutely. I definitely need one or even need to represent one. And this is, we'll definitely have to bring you back on again if you need some more promos that need to do for opponents or if you ever want to promo anything. Please come back on my show and thank you so much for being my special guest today.
I'm always special and I'll gladly be a guest whenever you need me.
All right, thanks everybody on Periscope, everybody on YouTube, all the listeners from iTunes who tuned into this episode. Thank you very much to my special guest, Jaxon Argos. And make sure you go check him out on social media, everybody. What a great guest, and I had a great time. And we'll see you next time on Coop's Corner Podcast.